Leaders in tech are burning out at an absurd rate. Control-Alt-Delete with Lisa Drury is a no-BS conversation with one of the top female executives who spent over 25 years in Silicon Valley. If you're suffering from the always-on, never-good-enough, will-replace-you-today machine called the tech space, this show's for you. Here's Lisa.
Everybody, everybody, do I have the 411 for you today? Welcome to Control Alt Delete with Lisa Drury. And I have to be honest, the 411 is a number. It's a billion. 411 billion. Insufficient sleep has an estimated economic impact of over 411 billion each year. And that's in the United States alone. So whether you had the perfect night's sleep last night, you haven't slept at all, or you want to take a nap right now, listen in, because do I have a gift for you today? Joanna Clark is here. And Joanna, I've been wanting to do this podcast episode with you for how long? I don't even know. Welcome to Control Alt Delete.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. So everybody, Joanna and I have known each other for quite a while, but here's what I want you to know. She's my go-to when it comes to sleep. She is a pediatric sleep coach. She calls herself the sleep detective. She is somebody who, whenever I'm struggling, I can pick up the phone and call, and she's got such amazing insight. I mean, she does Facebook Lives every week to just be of service to people. Mm-hmm. And what I know with the world we're in today, that 411, 411 billion in the United States alone, we got a problem.
Right.
Right. And we're not here to beat you up for not sleeping enough. That's not the goal today. The goal today is to give insights and to give you hope, because you can make a difference in your life. And I want to, I'm going to tell you why Joanna is so amazing. I have her official bio here, but before I do that, I just want to give you a little bit more insight as to why this is so important today. Okay. So drowsy driving alone is responsible for more than 6,000 fatal car crashes every year. Now, I have been guilty of rolling my window down, turning the radio up, and thinking I can just power through. And I count my blessings every day that I haven't had that problem. But I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I'm so well rested all the time. I got problems too, right? I want you to know that people with severe insomnia are 7 times more likely to have work-related accidents.
Yes. Or mistakes.
Think about the code you're writing right now, everybody. Think about the projects you're running, right? And I love this example so much, because how appreciative we are of the frontline workers, the nurses. Nurses working 12.5-hour shifts report committing more than 3 times as many medical errors than those working 8.5-hour shifts. Mm-hmm. And in the global world of tech, where you have different shifts going on for call centers and different shifts going on in different countries based on what's going on, we always, you know, I'll sleep when I'm dead. It doesn't matter. I only need 5 hours of sleep. And I call bullshit.
Right.
I just do. So let me tell you why Joanna's here and what we're going to talk about today. I love her company so much, what she does. So she is the founder of Blissful Baby Sleep Coaching. And Joanna Clark is on a mission to ensure that no parent endures the pain of sleep deprivation, overwhelm, and relentless questioning of their self-worth, because they have a child that does not sleep through the night. As a former sleep-deprived working parent, Joanna knows exactly how frustrating and isolating it is to want what's best for her child and yet can no longer tolerate living in a sleep-deprived haze. Joanna helps sleep-deprived families get where they need to be, well-rested.
Yes.
There's no need to cry it out. Easy bedtimes, peaceful nights, reliable naps, and confident parenting are yours. She provides guilt-free, gentle sleep coaching solutions using proven evidence-based methods and expert full-service support via Zoom for families all over the United States. Here's the thing about Joanna that you need to know. On top of all of that, over the past decade, she's helped thousands of families. Joanna is proud to be recognized as one of the top 200 sleep consultants in the U.S. by Tuck. And Joanna is a 3-time contributing author and #1 Amazon bestsellers. Joanna Clark, you are so much more than a pediatric sleep coach. As I've said before, you are the sleep detective. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Yes, I was a sleep deprived working mother. And so I know exactly what it feels like to have demands and obligations in the workplace. I was always a high performer. I loved to work and to be successful at work. And when I had my beautiful baby girl, I fully believed, because I had done all my research and my reading, and I was going to kind of have my PhD in parenting, you know, by the time she was only 2 months old, that I would be able to figure it all out, because I'm an extremely resourceful woman and I've figured out a lot of things in my past. Why wouldn't I be able to figure this one out? Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. My baby girl was not sleeping. She was nursing all night long. She would not let my husband help at all around bedtime or naps. It was all mommy, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I tried and failed to help to, you know, to solve this problem. I guess you could look at it that way. Mm-hmm. And I was failing miserably. I was feeling embarrassed. I was feeling very resentful to my baby and to my husband, because like he was kind of useless and she only wanted me, and there was like nothing left of me. So because my job wanted a whole bunch of things, she wanted a whole bunch of things. He was trying to help, but it wasn't able to. And it just was a very unmanageable situation. So I absolutely know how sleep deprivation and work and the demands that a woman gets put under all come together, because you want to be a great employee, you want to be an amazing mom, and you want to be a great wife, and you have a family vision. And when the family vision is falling apart right in front of your eyes, it's pretty frightening.
I'm so grateful that you just shared your own story, because here's the thing I know, women are leaving the workforce, especially in tech, at unprecedented rates. And they're citing, when they're courageous enough to talk about it, yes, you know, the family needs have to get met. And they're saying childcare a lot. Okay. And I understand that. I also know from my own experience and in your story, there's a level underneath it that is not being talked about. And right. So whether you're on the board, whether you're the CEO or you're the frontline manager, or you're actually someone who's in an individual contributor role trying to keep this all together, you need to know this is going on.
Right.
And one of the things you had shared with me the other day, Joanna, and I have my own story too, which I'll share, you know, as we talk today. But I know you recently spoke to an employee resource group at one of the tech companies in Silicon Valley. Yeah. And I know you were brought in to really support the working moms in that organization. So to keep it really real for our audience, you know, what was the conversation like? What's really going on? How are women holding up right now in tech, you know, and being parents?
Okay. Well, all right. So pre-pandemic, it was already difficult. Then you add pandemic and needing to work from home and caretake your child all day because perhaps your daycare was closed, or the nanny that you had hired was, you know, you didn't feel comfortable, you know, having another individual in your home. So the problems that already existed went exponential in this past year. And really what the moms are sharing with me, because I'm talking to working moms every day, and especially when I go in and talk to organizations of working moms, is that there is tremendous shame and guilt that their child is having sleep issues, that they've tried to fix it and haven't been able to get resolution. And they feel shame about the fact that they haven't been able to figure it out, mm-hmm, that they have been able to outperform themselves in all different areas of their life. But this motherhood thing, and especially this one element of this motherhood journey, is a conundrum to them. And they don't want anyone to know that that's what's the underneath. So Lisa just mentioned kind of the underneath, like if a mother has to choose to leave the career for a while and she cites child care concerns, I would imagine that if we asked her multiple other questions, like what elements of child care, it would most likely be, I'm up all night with my baby and I don't have the physical, emotional stamina to be the mother or the employee that I know I'm capable of under these conditions of sleep deprivation, mm-hmm, because yeah, mothers are sleep deprived. So let me give you some of my statistics to really pinpoint this. Right now, these are all new stats, by the way. Right now, it is estimated that working moms are literally working 98 hours a week between their professional and personal obligations.
That's not surprising, and yet it's mind-blowing.
Right. It's exactly. It's, but you know, I want you to think about it, right? I mean, 98 hours a week with probably half of that being, you're not being paid for that.
Yes. Mean, yes.
Yeah. Right. But it, but the work of mothering and caretaking is as important as any project you're doing at work as well. Mm-hmm. Now, the other statistic is that a new parent loses 44 days of 44, 24-hour segments of days in the first year of their baby's life, which means that they're losing 1,056 hours of sleep in the first 12 months of their child's life. So, so I want you to think, let's put those two statistics together, Lisa. Yep. If you're already, if the demands of professional life and personal life, just caretaking, again, remember when I say professional and personal obligation, they literally mean your work life and your caretaking life with your child,
mm-hmm.
not your social life, not your exercise, not,
not your exercise, yeah.
Not managing your marriage life, not, yep. not managing, you know, maybe if you have an elderly parent, I'm talking about professional and caretaking of a child, mm-hmm. 98 hours a week. Now, if in that first year of life, you were losing 1,056 hours of sleep because your child's not sleeping well, you can see how working moms are quite literally living in a sleep deprived, overwhelmed haze.
Yes. Yeah.
And it is not sustainable. And so, you know, my big message is having been that mom, that there is hope and help possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That sleep, although it is a biological need that we all have, it is also simultaneously a learned skill. And there are three skills in sleep. The ability to self-regulate, the ability to self-settle, and the ability to self-soothe.
And really, again, self-regulate.
Self-regulate.
Yep.
Self-settle and self-soothe. So a child has to learn three separate skills, and then they have to learn how to use them in tandem. Mm-hmm.
I think as adults, we need to learn that. I mean, how many people absolutely. Are binge-watching Netflix just to fall asleep at night, or drinking alcohol, or taking right. sleep aids.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's, I think there's a lot of us that have never learned that even as adults.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So interesting when, you know, once I'm able to help all the parents I help, and then kind of at the end, when we're doing our celebration call, they're like, okay, can you help me now?
Right.
You know, I've learned so much, and I've already been able to take a lot of your knowledge that you're teaching me about my child into my personal life. And I want to go deeper because I want to have healthy sleep habits, just like my child is learning.
Yeah.
But I should say that kind of circling back, like why I want everybody listening to recognize that if they are in that sleep deprived haze because their child is not sleeping, I want them to know that there is always hope and help, mm-hmm. and that it's never too late. Because sleep is a learned skill, we can create the right circumstances and the right environment for your child to learn the skills. It is, and so if you have this feeling like, oh, he'll always be a terrible sleeper, or oh, I'm just gonna have to be a martyr because that's motherhood. No.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the case whatsoever. Mm-hmm. That, you know, if you believe your child can learn how to roll, crawl, stand, walk, potty train, ride a bike, swim lessons. If you are confident that you as the parent can help your child learn all of those skills, you need to look at sleep through that same lens.
Mm-hmm.
You can create the right environment and circumstances for your child to learn how to self-regulate, self-settle, and self-soothe at the onset of sleep at bedtime so they can begin to use those same skills at each arousal throughout the night and also for naps. So it's a hopeful message, you guys.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing I love about you so much. We're sharing some statistics that are, you know, I'm trying to wake people up to say, okay, lean in.
Yeah.
Right. And if there's any hope, I know it's with Joanna, and excuse my leaky eye. I'm definitely having an allergy moment. I'm actually crying too, right? If I'm honest with myself, I bet my soul is crying a bit. For all the mothers out there, for all the dads out there, listen, it affects the dads too.
Absolutely.
One time, I remember my husband. So I'll just say, I believe that this exact problem is what led to part of my own burnout. Okay. So I'll never forget, you know, 7 years of infertility, our daughter, we finally have a healthy daughter. So blessed, never focused on sleep. All just focused on healthy delivery. I was just like, keep this child healthy. I want this to be okay. Right. So here she comes. We don't know what we're doing. I think it was like 3 weeks in. My husband was so sleep deprived with me. He's at the hardware store. And the woman says to him, are you okay? Now, my husband's not one to bring his personal life into Home Depot. Right. But he says, I'm not, I haven't slept this whole nurse thing. And like, who designed this? These children, like, you know, you do this and then you burp them and then you got 20 minutes and the mom's asleep and you're trying to help. And he said, he actually was just like pleading with this woman, telling him it was going to get better. And she says, oh, honey, it'll get better over time. But, and he goes, okay, well, how about like next week? And she's like, no, no, no. Like, you're in it. You're in it. And our pediatrician was like, you guys need to get a night nurse. Like, you guys need to get some sleep. And the first time my husband was ever prescribed Ambien was when our daughter was like 4 weeks old. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is real. And we never talked about this at work, Joanna.
No, no.
We never talked about it at work.
No, they don't. They don't. And there's a lot. There's tremendous shame.
Tremendous shame.
And it's because shame, and the shame is coming from two things. Number one, the shame is, why can't I figure this out? I've been able, I'm a professional, educated woman. I'm successful in all these different areas where I can problem solve. Why can I not figure this out? And then there's also this other element of, well, this just must be motherhood. I guess I'm just signing up for this. I didn't think it would be this hard, but I guess I'm going to resign myself to this feeling of, martyrdom. And both are not true.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so with you
to be true.
And I think about, whenever I talk to you, one of the things I always think about is, you know, where were you when you needed you, right? And I'll never forget when I met Joanna, everybody, we were sitting down and just, oh, what do you do? What do you do? And she says, oh, I help, you know, families get rest. I was like, no way. I mean, at that time, I think my daughter was six.
Yes.
And I had told her my own story of our own journey. And then I just was like, I need to introduce Joanna to absolutely everybody I know. Because what you do, I think, is you actually transform families. I think you save marriages. I think the work that you do actually saves people from having heart attacks or manic episodes. I mean, when you look at sleep, which I think Arianna Huffington's done a fabulous job raising awareness, right? There's so much more here. So yes, we are talking specifically right now about getting your child a well-rested night. But that leads to everything. And so when we think about control, alt, delete, right? Burnout prevention, mindset reset, leadership skills. I really want to just say that this is an act of self-care.
Yes.
So this isn't the spa. This isn't 3 days, you know, by yourself, just doing the spas and the facials or whatever. Your sleep, the quality of your sleep impacts your entire life and everybody that you lead and love, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So that you, I mean, this shame thing alone, when we think about it, for those of you listening in who are leading teams that have working parents on them, do you have any advice, Joanna, for a leader? Like, how can we all be a part of reducing this shame? I don't even really know my question, but
okay.
I'd like us to focus on some solutions to help people.
So what I would say regarding that is that, I mean, first of all, I think there's a big step when you can have a working mother's group and you can have it be one of the topics. I think that's super important that this can be like, hey, sleep is a topic that we can all improve upon. Mm-hmm. Sleep is a topic that we can help each other know more about, mm-hmm. and we can, you know, get good resources to find accurate and reliable information on it. There's, you know, what a lot of moms report to me is how confusing all the material is. And so they'll Google this and they'll Google that, and then they will try multiple things and then it almost makes things worse. So my first piece of advice would be that if you are looking to improve sleep, kind of pick your one or two resources that you're going to be following and getting advisement from so that you can be consistent in your responses. and add the pieces of the puzzle that need to be added. Because if you're pulling in from different methodologies and different paces, it's just going to make everything much more confusing. Mm-hmm. Also, if you find that you are a working mom and you recognize that your child doesn't have those foundational skills of sleep, and that you might have to get into a situation where you have to consider sleep coaching, I want to be really clear on something. Whenever the word sleep training or sleep coaching comes out of somebody's mouth, there tends to be kind of a visceral response. Mm-hmm. Because there's this automatic assumption that if you are going to sleep coach or sleep train your baby, that means you as the mother or you as the parent is going to let your child cry it out. That is like you think sleep coach, sleep train, it means cry it out. And I want to be really clear on something. That is not true. Okay. That is a methodology. That is not.
All roads don't lead to cry it out is what you're saying.
All roads do not lead to cry it out is a methodology. So the best way I can explain this, like if you want to go on a diet, you can do paleo, you can do whole 360, you can do keto, right? Those are all methodologies for weight loss. So with sleep coaching and sleep training, you have to look at it as a different thing that all your, it's nothing scary that you're doing. You're not jeopardizing your attachment to your child. In fact, if anything, you're actually going to be increasing your attachment to your child. But basically what it is it's creating the right circumstances and the right environment for your child to learn independent sleep skills, which is to self-regulate, self-settle, and self-soothe. That's all that it is. So then you say to yourself, okay, if my child wants to create independent sleep, healthy sleep habits, there are many roads. There is cry it out as a road, but for most families, that is too intense, which is why they usually end up with me, because I believe in gentle sleep coaching, because if you're helping your child learn new skills, you would never leave them alone. Just like when they were learning to walk, you didn't leave them alone. Just when they were learning to swim, you didn't leave them alone. Or when they're riding a bike or when they're potty training, right? So you want to be thinking about the methodology that you might want to pursue, and then being realistic on the time frame that it would take you to reach all your sleep goals. Depending on the nature of the sleep struggles at the onset, it could take anywhere between 5 and 7 days to a month for resolution. And it also depends what your goals are, if you want nights and naps. So there's a lot to consider. And so a lot of families need to kind of come together, and managers need to come together to recognize that if mothers are in the mode of sleep training, they might need to take some days off so that they can do it well, and they can do it once, and they can do it with grace and ease, because it doesn't have to be hard. There's this perception that sleep coaching and sleep training is this arduous, difficult, drama-filled, torturous process. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be that way. If you do it with the right methodology and the right support and the right pace to meet the temperament of your child, their age and stage, and your family values, it can actually be this amazing experience where you get to see your child learn these paramount skills for life. Because let me tell you, those sleep skills, self-regulate, self-settle, self-soothe, they move beyond the bedroom. When you have a 2 and 3 year old that's prone to tantrums, which is developmentally appropriate, those that are good sleepers manage their 2 and 3 year olds better, the 2 and 3 year old time frame of developmental stage, because they already have this self-regulation, self-settling, and self-soothing skills. If you have a teenager that has good sleep skills, they're going to have less need to downregulate with things we don't want them downregulating with.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And then later, like Lisa, you know, talked about earlier, like us as adults, like downregulating with a sleeping pill, a glass of wine, or binge watching, right? Mm-hmm. That we haven't really been nurturing our regulation, settling, and soothing skills for our own self to be able to get into a drowsy state. So there's hope. And this is the most important thing. In fact, there's another statistic that they show that sleep deprivation causes lack of empathy. And so when families are saying to me, well, I'm afraid to sleep train because I'm afraid that it's going to damage my attachment to my baby, I explain to them that your sleep deprivation is actually doing more damage to your attachment, because when you are sleep deprived, they have shown that you have less empathy.
Mm-hmm.
So you have less empathy for your spouse, for your child, for your work colleagues, and you definitely, as a sleep deprived parent, have less empathy for yourself.
Dude. Okay. Okay. I just had like one of those downloads. So anyone who, you know, for you longtime listeners, get ready, because we already know what's happening. Anybody new, hold on to your seats. Okay. Everything you just said from self-regulate, self-soothe. What's the third one? Settle. Man, I can't read my own writing. Self-regulate, self-soothe, self-settle, self-settle. Think about the conflict at work, everybody. Think about all the different moving parts. Think about all the unprecedented times. I just want you to like put yourself as those leaders in tech that you are. We all need this, right? And then you had me at lack of empathy, because burnout happens when you get really cynical. You lose your empathy. Your tank is empty. Okay. I know this. I know this with all of the leaders that I coach, the workshops that I run, the keynote presentations I do. Everybody comes up after and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm always resentful and angry, and it's showing up everywhere. And I'm always like, yeah, you're not alone. And I think we have a culture of always on, never good enough, we'll replace you tomorrow in tech. Then you compound that with being a parent. And so you have that same kind of mindset, that same energy you're in all the time. And then for you to say your lack of empathy for yourself, well, of course the shame comes in. Well, of course we don't talk about it. It's one more thing where I'm not good enough, right?
I'm not good enough. In fact, thank you, yeah. Lisa, because the moms will say this, I must be a terrible mother.
Exactly, yeah.
And so there's just this terrible, self-abuse of thinking that they're not a good mother, when in fact they're doing everything they can to help their baby sleep. It's just not working.
Yeah.
And they need to recognize that there is a different way to be looking at the problem, and that there are options.
Mm-hmm.
They're so in it that they believe they're just a failure.
Yes. And listen, I lived it. We all know my story.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I think that the download that showed up for me was my focus as a mom myself has been on the women, right? I mean, I've always women in tech. I want to stop the exodus. You know, I work with women back to work. Here's the thing that I think I overlooked. And when you were talking, I realized all of the leaders out there, you know, and majority of male in tech right now, right? First of all, don't even know how to talk about this. Don't even know what this looks like. And then if they're experiencing themselves, they're worried about their partners who are feeling like shit about themselves.
Yes.
And then happy to just be working, so they don't have to feel all these feelings or deal with all this stuff. So this is not just a mother problem.
No.
Like, we're talking about it.
The family systemic.
The family system. Okay. We just said at the same time, systemic family system. So I'm curious, knowing what we're talking about right now, knowing that there's hope. I don't know many companies that offer sleep coaching as a benefit, right? I do know you have your FMLA, and I do know you have your maternity and paternity, right? But thinking about all of you leaders out there that might have parents in this situation right now that nobody's talking about, what comes to mind for me would be to ask just the simple question, how are you sleeping? Mm-hmm. Right? Because you'll get at least some insight. Instead of how was your weekend or how are you sleeping? But I'm curious, Joanna, what would be, if someone had the courage to say, I'm not sleeping, my baby's driving me crazy, I feel like a failure. They're not going to say that, but you know, whatever they were to say, oh, we're fine. Or, you know, it's fine. Well, really, how many nights of sleep are you getting? Or how many hours of sleep are you getting? Mm-hmm. What's something a leader could say to show empathy, or an action a leader could do to make it safer for these sleep deprived employees on their team to almost be more honest about it? What's something that these sleep deprived parents need to hear from their leadership for them to feel like it's okay to talk about, in your experience?
Well, I want to say first that, when we're talking about this as being a family system issue, it's true that I require, and when I'm working with families, we have to build a united front between mother and father. So sometimes what's happening is the father is quite aware that there's a lot of dysfunction going on, but because he's been out of the loop, because the mom is doing the majority of the caretaking, mm-hmm. he doesn't really recognize, the father doesn't really recognize how bad and depleted the mother is. And so for the employer who is maybe talking to a male colleague and saying, how's the new baby? You might need to recognize that that dad might not fully understand the complexity of the family system issue. That he knows something's amiss. He might have this perception that the baby's going to grow out of it. And that it's just something, they're just enduring the yuckiness because the dad doesn't recognize that sleep is a learned skill. And so he just thinks that the baby will grow out of it. Cause that's what everyone says. Oh, you know what? You're going to be sleep deprived for a while, but your baby will grow out of it. No, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
There's another statistic that says that sleep issues with babies in infancy last well beyond their third year. So if you are a sleep deprived parent and you are not addressing this now, you're going to be looking at years of continued sleep deprivation, mm-hmm. which the added impact goes to all the statistics that Lisa and I just mentioned.
Yeah.
I mean, I see burnout and marriage failure. By the time families come to me, they're usually in crisis. It's unfortunate. And that would be the one thing I wish could change, is that families would not be having this negative perception of sleep coaching, that they can recognize that they have a pediatrician, they probably had a lactation consultant, they probably even had a doula, mm-hmm. and those were all individuals that were caretaking them during their pregnancy, birth, and delivery, and their OBGYN, and that a sleep consultant is who you would add to your team, this kind of birth team, mm-hmm. that you have kind of the pregnancy, the post-birth, and now kind of into the babyhood. What is your team going to be? And that if you're having sleep issues, part of your team would be a sleep consultant that you could kind of have on staff for you to help you through an intense period, or to be available to you for questions as you move along your parenting journey, because there's always going to be sleep transitions that you need help with, or regressions that you need help with.
Mm-hmm.
So for the employers of the dads, I would say recognize that you might need to ask some more probing questions to the dads, because they might not be fully in tune yet that there's really a problem at home that will ultimately catch up with them. And I'll give you an example of that here in a minute. And then to the moms, I think right from the beginning, you should fully recognize the likelihood that it's not perfect sleeping environment at home is very high. And that she probably isn't going to let you know how challenging it is, mm-hmm. and that you probably need to ask the hard questions up front, and then be able to say to them, do you need some support around that? Have you talked to your pediatrician about it? Have you talked to any of your friends? Have you sought assistance from a certified and trained sleep coach in the methodology that is most aligned with your parenting value? And let them know that asking for help is perfectly acceptable, and that they might need some time off to go work on that,
mm-hmm.
because when they can be resolved in the issue, they get their life back and they feel like a whole new woman, a whole new human being.
Yeah. Yeah. It, when I hear you talking, it really think I, there's so much correlation here. I just want to highlight it for people. So when I get called in, right, when people search out me for support, it is an executive in a new role. A lot of times. And the failure rate of executives transitioning to that next level is around 40%.
Wow.
So companies have figured that out. And they're like, hey, you need a third party external, somebody who's been in your shoes, who can help you, right? Think about what it's like to be a new parent, like the newness, the failure rate, right? Not that the kid's going to die, but you want a thriving family system. Sleep is essential, people.
Yes.
So there's that correlation. Then the second thing is, pick the right person with the methodology that fits for your values, your needs, right? I work with executives in tech who believe that heart belongs at work, right? I'm not that for everybody.
Right.
Right. And I'm also really honest about my own stories, so people can see that in you. So it's, there's so much correlation here that I wish that I had thought about it sooner in my own journey to being a parent, because at work, we're always thinking, okay, let's build the best product team. Let's build the best finance team, whatever. And you always look for the strengths of everybody, you pull them together. But the missing component, even for me as a parent in the beginning, was this expertise in sleep and guidance. I mean, Joanna, the thing we're not talking about too, that I'm just going to highlight for everybody is, you know, this whole, it takes a village. Guess what? There's no village right now. It's very rare that people in tech have a village. Okay. You're working all the time. You're working all the time. So to have this village is not what it used to be back in the day. And I think a lot of those sleep skills you learned from mothers and grandmothers and aunties and things like that. Right. And I think that's why the service that you provide, you are, I mean, listen, I called my lactation person in the hospital. I called her auntie because I thought, oh, she's showing me how to do this. But I think we all need an Auntie Joanna. I think we all need that sleep detective in our life, wherever our kids are. And honestly, even if you don't have kids, it's still a great consult to have to learn the sleep skills.
Right. Right.
I just, I'm so grateful for what you do.
Yeah. And, you know, I would also say like, you know, I work, I'm based here in Silicon Valley. So, I mean, I work with families all over the US, but I have a ton of tech employees that I work with, and they're usually both dual working parents. Both parents are in leadership roles, and you know, their work suffers, their marriage suffers, right at the point when they think the most beautiful thing that could be happening to them is bringing a new baby into the world. And I just finished working with a client right now that was an Apple employee, and they had tried and failed everything. And then when they came to me, they're like, look, we have tried and failed. I'm not even sure if this is something you could help us with. And that's something will happen, is that people will believe there's no way someone can help me. There's just absolutely not a single way that somebody could help me. And then, you know, we were able to work together and solve all their issues, to the point that this important family trip that they had wanted to take, that now that they were vaccinated, they finally could consider taking it to go see all their relatives, because the baby was born during COVID, and not a single relative had met this baby in five-dimensional form. And so the whole time they were afraid that they would never be able to go visit, because the thought of traveling with their child was so incredibly overwhelming that they could barely get through the day, let alone consider getting on an airplane and living with a grandparent and having the parent judge them and all the things that happen, because you feel very judged when your child isn't sleeping well. And you get a lot of unsolicited advice. And so we got that baby sleeping, and they texted me from their trip, and they said that the baby was sleeping beautifully and that the baby was delightful, because of course you get a new baby. When your baby is sleeping through the night, I should say baby, child.
Okay. Heck, even your partner.
When your child is sleeping 10 to 11 hours consolidated and taking reliable naps, and bedtime is super easy, they're a delight to be around. And parenting is like, all of a sudden you're like, I'm actually pretty good at this, and I really am enjoying this. But in the sleep deprivation phase, everything feels like effort and resentment and tit for tat and overwhelm.
Yeah. This is so helpful. So for those of you listening in, I want to just take a moment. If you're driving, I just want you to think about it. But if you're, you know, somewhere stable, you know, I want you to think about your own sleep. Right? Because it always, this oxygen mask thing, it starts with us, right? So take a look at the last couple of weeks and just think about, are you going to bed at a regular time? All right. Do you have the blue screens off, right? Is your temperature set correctly? Are you encouraging the same type of habits in your family? And if the answer is yes, then high five, right? Share this episode with other folks so they can learn it too. And if your answer is no, I think the question I want to ask you is why? And I'm asking this about myself too. So I knew Joanna was coming on, and the last couple of nights I haven't slept very well. And listen, did I feel a little bit of shame bringing a sleep expert onto my show when I'm not sleeping well this week? I thought, you know what? There's no shame in that. Like, let's just talk about it. So for me, my own question I'm posing to the audience, and I think it really comes down to, and this is, it comes down to love. How much do you love yourself? How much do you love your life? Uh-huh. How much are you trying to escape from it? And for me, the last couple of days, we had some big things going on in my personal life. And I had a lot of anxiety, and I think I would stay up and fester. And so I think the question I want to ask you, Joanna, is whether or not there's a child involved, knowing what you know about sleep, mm-hmm. you know, what are a couple things people can take away right now to even have a better week, a better night? Like, what are some things as the sleep detective, some trends or themes you see for those of us, including me, that might, you know, take that anxiety and somehow.
Yeah. Well, I would say that, developing healthy sleep habits for yourself, to establish them does take discipline. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest elements of discipline that people have a hard time is giving themselves ample transition from closing out their day to when they want to be asleep, not getting ready to go to sleep, not trying to fall asleep, but being asleep so that they could maximize. So if, like, for example, I know I am a person that really is optimal at 8 hours of sleep a night. I'm optimal at 8 hours. So if I know that I have a big week ahead, then I want to be asleep by 10 p.m. Okay. But what do I need? What I need to go backwards and get honest with myself is how much, if I want to be asleep by 10 p.m., what is all the transition points that I need to hit so that I can be drowsy enough at 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. And that's where the discipline is, because, you know, at 9 o'clock, I sometimes get a second wind where I'm like, I'm going to go crank out some emails, or I'm going to do this, or I want to talk to my husband, or gee, it's been a really hard day, I want to just space out on TV. Mm-hmm. But the discipline is that I know I need at least a 45 minute transition from closing out my day to being asleep. And so if I want to take really good care of myself and kind of tend to my future self, meaning that I'll wake up this morning and feel really energized right. for my day, I have to have the discipline to give myself the ample transition.
Mm.
So, but some people don't even realize what it is they need for transition. So it just, this is where kind of your own asking yourself the hard questions and doing your own kind of sleep detective work.
Mm-hmm.
But once you know some of those key factors, it becomes easier to optimize.
I really appreciate what you're saying so much, because I think about when I had my weight loss journey, and I remember thinking and having this aha moment in my own experience that what I was thinking was hunger was actually me being tired.
Oh, yes.
And I was always feeding myself thinking, oh, I'm hungry, right? I'll go grab Starbucks or, you know, chips or whatever. This was really when it was really bad. And I think you and I've talked about this in other conversations, and it just blew my mind that I was inferring or interpreting my body's messages to me uh-huh. that I was actually tired. And so when I actually took my medical leave for burnout, I slept so much, and I felt guilty in the beginning. And then I realized through my own learnings that the restorative piece of sleep is actually builds your immunity, helps you make better decisions, makes you easier to be around, made me a better parent and a better wife.
Helps right? you lose weight.
It totally helped me lose weight.
Right, because sleep and blood sugars go hand in hand.
Yeah.
There's
so much to this.
Yes. But you know, again, true self-care in my mind is also kind of discipline, because you have to be honest with yourself on what it is that you really need. And then you have to be willing to make those compromises for yourself to fulfill that need.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, I love I binge watch just like all the others, right? Especially after a year of doing it. But I have to actually force myself to say, I will not be on a screen past 9 p.m. Mm. And it is some days I just want to compromise my own goal. And sometimes I do, because we all do, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to being human, right?
Yeah. And then on the days I say, nope. And I just turn off my phone and I pick up a book instead. So I have that nice transition in the dimly lit room. Those are the nights that I just fall asleep so beautifully, and I sleep all night long and I wake up mm-hmm. great. So, you know, we all know this, you guys. Listen, I mean, this is not, but it's the doing, right?
Right.
But, you know, circling back to moms, I just think, or to parents, I just want to recognize that because this is a sleep deprivation, if your child is not sleeping well, inevitably it becomes a family system issue, inevitably. And then once it becomes a family system issue, so what I mean by that is the parents are arguing, There's a lot of resentments being built. There is the household chores and maintenance and everything like that just kind of goes by the wayside. And then it starts to fan out to the next level. So each parent's kind of personal or professional obligations start to fall. They stop working out. They stop eating well. They lose their focus and productivity at work. They start to get more stressed and anxious about their work because they know they're not performing. And you can see that this, it just grows and grows mm-hmm. and grows until they kind of hit a crisis point where they go, oh my gosh. And, you know, I call it being on fumes. Like a lot of moms, this is what I call my kind of stamina scale. One is you're on fumes and 10 is you're like about to run a marathon. Mm-hmm. Most of my families are coming to me when they're already on fumes. They're already at a one. I don't want that. I would rather have them recognize like, oh, there's a problem here. Let me see how I can solve this before I hit rock bottom. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that would be my big message. And in managers, and if you are a manager and you're thinking about this topic to talk with your employees, or if you're an employee yourself and you're thinking about this, ask yourself, where are you on that stamina schedule? And if you are sliding from a 5 to a 4 to a 3, and ask your spouse, because, you know, I have a lot of times where families will say to me, the dad will say, I'm at an 8. And the mom will be like, I'm at a 2. And the dad will be like, you're at a 2. And mm-hmm. your mom, and the mom's like, you're at an 8. And there's this, I mean, talk about resentment, right?
Right.
So sometimes spouses don't even know where each other are. So it is a conversation to have within the context of the marriage, how you're each doing, and then looking for solutions.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. So listen, everybody, we could go on, and I have all kinds of, I think I'm going to invite Joanna back because we haven't even touched on single parents. I mean, we haven't touched on adoptions. Like there's so much more here. What I want to say with the time that we have today is, Joanna, you offer so much free advice. I mean, you have regular Facebook lives, you share things on LinkedIn. So can you tell everybody how to find you? I think, sure. Well, let's do that. Yeah.
Okay. So you can find me at Blissful Baby Sleep Coaching. So it's kind of long. So blissfulbabysleepcoaching.com. And then I'm also on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. So Blissful Baby Sleep is my tags on that. And if you want to speak with me, on my website, you can go and fill out the form and we can have a conversation about your sleep struggles. But I do Facebook lives. I do Instagram lives. You can submit questions in advance for hot seat coaching. All of that can be found on my website so that you can find out how to have some of that, one-on-one with me. Mm. And I guess my parting message would be like, there's always hope and help available. And to please recognize that it's a family system issue, and that it will end up feeding out to the rest of your life. So in order to get your life back, it starts with sleep.
Indeed, my friend. Okay. So listen, everybody, right now you're going to go follow Joanna. Anybody, you know, you want to send them to her Facebook page. She does so much. Thank you for being so giving and being of service all the time, Joanna. It's amazing. I'm constantly in my own Facebook world referring you, because every time there's so much wealth for free. So much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I really want to be the place to be to offer accurate and reliable information.
Exactly.
So many moms come to me in a state of complete confusion because they've gotten their information from so many sources, like I referenced earlier. I want to be that kind of one depot so that you can at least know, like, okay, this is a good place to come to get.
Yeah. Yes. Awesome. So we're going to end with the song because we're building the playlist. And before you tell me your song, there's one thing I want to say to everybody listening. This type of video right here would make a great team meeting. This type of video right here would be an amazing resource for your employee resource groups for working parents. Okay. So if you're always like, what could I do? How could I help? I don't know where to start. Take something like this, either listen to it and share it, have a book club, do something here, because I'm telling you, your workforce is sleep deprived and anxious. And I would love for any leader who's listening to figure out a way to take this conversation into their teams and to be of service. And so there's my double dog dare for the audience.
Right. And don't be afraid to ask your employees these questions, right? Because the employee is always already feeling shame. And then if you're too afraid to bring up the uncomfortable thing that's shame trigger, then you're just perpetuating the problem. So
you are, yeah.
You have to kind of pull off that band-aid and say, you know, how are you? Like, be curious about sleep. How are you doing? How's it going? What's inhibiting it? Is there anything I can do to help you? Here's some resources.
Mm-hmm. I heard about this great Facebook group where you can get your sleep questions answered for free. What? Seriously, I'm not kidding, everybody. Right. Okay, so there's my double dog dare. We'll see who takes us up on it. I can't wait to see where this goes. Here's my question. When we're sleep deprived and we're burning out, we are exhausted. And we all know there's songs that can lift our spirits and our mood. I mean, Joanne and I actually played a song before we got on today.
Yeah.
So Joanna, what's your go-to? I want to add it to our playlist.
So it's an oldie but goodie. It's by Run DMC. And it's Tricky.
I love it.
And it just, every single time I need a pump up of energy, I just love it. So I hope that that brings you some joy.
We're going to see people in tech working around with the next street to rock around. Okay. Yes. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for putting your self-care oxygen mask on first. I applaud you all for looking at this in a much deeper, more curious way than you have been, because you've been living in a pandemic. I get it. And it's time for rest. It's time for rejuvenation. And according to our friend Joanna, it's time for some discipline, right? For ourselves. So be well, everybody. Take good care. Joanna, thank you for all that you've given today and for all that you do. I'm blessed that you're here and I'm grateful for your time.
Thank you, Lisa. Yeah.
All right. Take good care, everybody.
Bye.
That was great content, but let's be honest. If you don't get the support you need and start making changes in your life and work as a leader in tech, you can expect regret and burnout in the near future. Lisa can help you get kick-ass results at work without burning out, so you can be present for the moments that matter to you and your loved ones. Take your first step at rebootwithlisa.com.